Welcome to the John Leonetti Show. Please hold while we connect your call.
Hey, I'm on the phone with Father Trevor Chaquin. You don't know the guy, all right? At least unless you live in like rural Iowa. But he's a priest of my diocese, a dear friend. The man loves the Mass. He's a liturgist in general. Ask him a lot of questions on diving in, especially on how we as laymen and women can take seriously, more seriously, the Holy Mass that we enter into sometimes every day, but at least every week. Tune in, like, subscribe, comment, get these calls out to as many people as possible, especially this one. God bless.
Press 1 to sponsor a call. Thank you for your support. Please leave your message after the beep.
Hey, John, this is Chris Karstens from Adoramus. Heard about your new podcast. Hope someday I can be a guest on it. In the meantime, if you or any of your guests want to know more about praying the liturgy more beautifully and celebrating more authentically, check out adoramus.org. Thanks, John. God bless.
If you would like to sponsor one of our calls, email us at thejohnleonettishow@gmail.com. And now, for your listening pleasure, The John Leonetti Show, calling all Catholics. Enjoy.
Father Trevor Chaquin.
Hey, John. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Living the dream, my friend.
There might be a lot of people that are listening right now that have no idea who you are. What do you think about that?
Good for them.
Where are you?
One tries to keep a low profile. I am sitting in my office. I'm the pastor of a couple parishes out in Cass County. That's about halfway between Des Moines and Omaha. This is where I spend most of my time, but then I also kind of ghostlight as the vicar for divine worship for the diocese. So if I'm not here at the parish office, I'm at my office in the basement of the chancery, cranking on all things worship.
Yeah. So you've been a priest how long?
8 years this summer.
8 years. What surprised you the most?
What surprised me the most? I think what surprised me the most is, on the one hand, the goodness of the people of God, their generosity and their kindness. I think, on the other hand, the thing that has surprised me the most is how the nature of priestly ministry has changed in the last 15, 20 years. Jobs and parishes and positions that we used to think belonged to, you know, senior clergy, so you'd be ordained 20, 30 years before you're asked to do something, now us young bucks are getting asked to do it because there just aren't as many of us.
Yeah, yeah. What is the thing that has surprised you in the negative about the priesthood?
That's an interesting question. Workload, I think at times just the more, you know, I've probably got, you know, John, 5-6 jobs.
Yeah.
And, you know, in olden days, each one of them probably would have been a full-time job done by somebody.
Yep.
And just trying to, you know, watch all the pots on the stove and make sure they're all, you know, boiling, but nothing's boiling over.
Yeah. I mean, I think you have people that are like, oh, these guys, you know, work on the weekends and everything's fine. A lot of misunderstandings. And I think some of that's kind of gone by the wayside a little bit, but I think there's still a little bit more there because, as you said, there's just not as many of these guys to cover these roles, and you're having to balance a lot of full-time jobs. How do you keep that balance as a priest?
For me, a calendar is everything.
Yeah.
You either control your calendar or your calendar controls you. And the first things you put into your calendar are sleep, prayer, and exercise.
Nice. I've actually kind of never heard that before. I like that.
and then you're left with what you're left with, and you fill from there. But you don't compromise those three: sleep, prayer, exercise, and to try and balance from there.
Who has inspired you in your priesthood? And not like people at the parish or anything. I know there's probably a lot of stories there, but like actual saints that you look to.
Sure. I mean, John Vianney is an obvious one as a parish priest. He's patron of parish priests. Was appointed for me. I connect with him. He was appointed a country pastor at a young age. I was appointed a country pastor at a young age.
Nice.
I think, some of the saints you hear about who kind of slaved away in the back room, who weren't real flashy. Name escapes me, but there are a couple of those where, you know, they're just good, hard workers. They didn't need to have their name out in the spotlight, but they just got done what needed to be done today.
Yep. Yep. Are you a liturgist? You say director of divine worship, Diocese of Des Moines, my diocese. What does a liturgist do?
Yeah. So, my gig, I am basically, in charge of anything to do with prayer, sacraments, a little bit of the doctrine side of things too in the diocese. Anything from helping the bishop to plan an ordination, to building a new church when we those happy moments come up, to answering different questions on, you know, sacramental validity or so on and so forth.
I mean, you're up there. I see you as a master of ceremonies, but you're like directing the bishop around. I mean, you're directing, you know, everyone.
It's the only time you get to tell a bishop what to do, and he does it.
How long is schooling for that?
I did 2 years. So my deacon year, my final year, I was studying in Rome, and then they sent me back for one additional year
A priest. What's the biggest surprise that people may not know about the liturgy? Teach me something here that would surprise me.
I think the antiquity of it. Just, I mean, we all know the Mass is old, but you start to look at some bits of the Mass, and I mean, we're talking first century, 300s, yeah. You know, written by some of our earliest popes. So the antiquity of it and the cohesion, you know, it's a wonderful system that just so it fits together so brilliantly. You know, we're coming up on Feast of the Assumption here in a few days. And I was thinking just as I was preparing for this, how, you know, we have a major Marian feast day at almost every seasonal turn point in the year.
That's cool.
We have Assumption now. We'll have Immaculate Conception when we start winter. We have Annunciation when we start spring.
That's cool.
It's brilliant.
You don't even think about it, really.
Yeah.
I mean, how the church lays all that. Who does all that, by the way, at the church?
Oh, certainly there'd be people in Rome who tinker with it now, but really what's done it is 2,000 years of history.
Why don't you go get that job right now?
Pass. I like my parishes.
I like it, man. So a liturgist, when you're up there, I mean, are you thinking, are you praying, or is it hard to do that? Because, I mean, there's so many moving parts for you.
You know, I've been doing that gig, the liturgist side, for about 5-6 years now.
How do you pray the Mass while you're doing that?
Well, when you're the MC, you don't.
Yeah.
Your job is to make sure everything happens. Now, it's gotten easier. Those first few years, you know, we're very kind of chaotic and trying to figure out what's going on. The longer you do it, and I would say I've got some great assistant masters of ceremonies in this diocese, some really great priests who help me out. And once you get a team together and you kind of know how everybody works, stuff just flows.
Yeah.
And in those moments, you can pray. But, you know, let's take the height of an ordination when you're trying to move a candidate or a bishop around and make sure this happens and that happens. Yeah, you're just your job is to help the bishop and the candidate to pray. You're not praying.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's got to be nerve-wracking. I've seen you up there. I mean, numerous ordinations and just like kind of big liturgies in our diocese, which is like, I got to talk to Father Trevor. This would be actually kind of fascinating on it. What do you want as a priest? What do you hope the people of God know, or you would like them to know about the Mass?
What a privilege it is to be able to encounter God so easily, so closely, and so concretely. You think, you know, in the old days, scripture talks about, you know, Joseph and Mary going up to the temple in Jerusalem. The Jews had to travel on foot, on horseback, miles and miles to get to their church, the temple, to offer sacrifice a couple times a year. It is so easy for us to encounter God. We don't have to travel, well, some of us do in the country, but you go into town and you go to your local church, and there is God, and he's just as present there as he is at the cathedral in Des Moines or St. Peter's in Rome.
Did it take you a while to get to that point in your life? Or is that just kind of something you've always known about the Mass?
No, I really think in the last couple of years that's just a point that hit me.
Really?
Particularly as I became pastor of four parishes, to think God is equally present in each of these places. We don't have to make big, long, huge sacrifices, big, long, huge pilgrimages to find God. He is there in the local community waiting for us. There in the parish waiting for us.
That's powerful, man. Holy cow. That's awesome. What would you say to your priest friends? What do you want them to know about the Mass? They're priests.
Well, I certainly hope they love it. I certainly hope they say it every day. I hope they see that it's what they were created for.
Yeah.
I was, you know, I'm literally looking at finance paperwork on my desk right now for my parishes. This is important stuff.
Yeah,
I take it seriously. But it's not what I was made for.
Yeah.
I was made for the Mass and the sacraments.
That's the one thing I love about you is you geek out over this stuff. Like the liturgy to you is not just like a kind of like a nice little traditional thing for us to go through. I mean, it is truly an encounter that you just are constantly immersing yourself in this thing.
it should be life for us. It should be the very source and summit, not just of our faith, but of our life.
Yeah.
You know, this is how we come into contact with the Creator who continually sustains us in all things.
It's incredible, man. I don't know. I love what you do. How can we pray for you? How can we pray for priests in general?
Oh, pray for vocations.
Yeah.
You know, if it is amazing, the power of prayer for vocations, and particularly in adoration in front of the Blessed Sacrament, pray for more priests. We need them. We know it. Pray for the priests that you have. I always say to my people, please be patient with me. I'm only human. Cardinal Newman has this great sermon, who was just declared doctor of the church. He said, look, if God had wanted the mass said perfectly, the breviary, that's the priest prayers, prayed perfectly, and the parish run perfectly, he'd have sent angels from heaven to do it, but he didn't. He sent men, because we can relate to men, and men can relate to our weaknesses. Angels never could. So since we have men for priests, you better pray for us, because we're not angels. We're not perfect.
That's really good. That's really good. It's a good thing I'm recording this. Hey, thank you for all you do, man. Thank you for your priesthood, and this won't be the last one. You're good.
See you, John.
Talk to you soon, Father Trevor.
Bye.